This is Line Break, where we deconstruct poetry written by young writers and discuss the inspiration and intention behind the poems. Take a pause and enjoy the line breaks. Here's episode 9. Hi, I'm here with New Leaf, and she's going to read her poem, Colors. Go ahead when you're ready.
Trapped in my own mind, bursting at the seams, I come undone. I'm covered in colors, drawings all over my body, because my head wasn't big enough to contain it. Hug myself too tightly, so that maybe I don't feel so alone. The white walls are splattered and painted, beautiful and truthful. I paint over my beauty with thick strokes of black. My hands drip with red. It dries on my face and in my hair as I try to pull myself apart. The dark walls close in on me as I keep painting myself, trying desperately to cover up all my imperfections. It's no use. With every layer I add, I am more ruined than before. The red paint runs down my arms and drips onto the floor. I'm covered in my own toxic rage, just a ticking time bomb that can't wait to explode. Wider brushstrokes, brighter colors, more, more, more. Paint over my broken heart, paint over my rotted mind, paint over my incorrect feelings, paint over my grief. Paint over my happy, paint over my joy, paint over my wrong, paint over my pain. The angry red paint seeps into my heart, infects my lungs, destroys my eyes. I'm seeing red, breathing red, my heart beats red. My paint bucket is empty, the walls are going to crush me. I pick up my paintbrush and try again.
Wow, thank you so much. That's such a powerful poem. It's very metaphorical, I think.
Thank you.
So what was your overall inspiration, and what do you think was the first line that you thought of, and how did you build from it?
I think I was really, in the moment when I wrote this poem, I was feeling a lot. It was towards the end of, I think, my 8th grade year or the beginning of my high school experience, and I was having a lot of conflicted emotions, but I wanted to put that into a poem that lots of people could connect to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the line I first came up with was probably trapped in my own mind, bursting at the seams, I come undone.
Mm-hmm. I think it's very, like, something that everyone can relate to, you know, that idea of just wanting to sort of, like, paint over or cover up feelings that you think are sort of wrong, or things about you that you think are wrong, because it isn't, like, okay to acknowledge it. Is that what you had in mind?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm going to be pretty honest. High school is whack.
And it is.
It's just weird. I mean, I'm homeschooled, so my high school experience is slightly different than other people, but it's just all the things that people are doing. A lot of my friends go to public school, and just hearing things from them and just like all the sort of things that they do so that other people think that they're better than who they actually are, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that this poem sort of addresses that, you know, like I keep painting myself, trying desperately to cover up all my imperfections. Like you're trying to just make yourself seem perfect.
Yeah, definitely.
So, some lines that stuck out to me were hug myself too tightly so that maybe I don't feel so alone, and paint over my broken heart, paint over my rotted mind, paint over my incorrect feelings, paint over my grief. These stood out to me because they're very human things to think and want. And I think that you did a really good job making the whole poem seem very, like, human, you know, not, like, too abstract.
Thank you.
What overall meaning do you think people should take away, and what overall meaning do you like to take away from that?
Those are two very different things.
Yes, I know, right?
I think what I want other people to take away is that even though most of the poem is about a lot of angry feelings and a lot going on, inner turmoil, mm-hmm. The last line, I pick up my paintbrush and try again, is really supposed to mean that there are infinite tomorrows and you will always get a chance to right any wrongs you feel you've made and try to be your best self over and over again. So I want it to be very full of human emotions and that you are allowed to feel these things, but that it's also good to keep in mind that there is hope and you will be able to keep going.
That's a really nice thought. Yeah, I wanted to talk about your ending, which is, my paintbrush is empty, the walls are going to crush me, I pick up my paintbrush and try again. And I think this is a really good metaphor for life in general, that, like you said, like, there's an infinite amount of tomorrows, and you can always just pick yourself up or pick up a pen and you can write through what you're going through or just keep going, and then you'll end up with like a better version of yourself or a poem or just a cup of tea or something. But the important thing is to just like keep going no matter what you're going through.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that it's kind of hard to, well, I mean, it's easy to get stuck on difficult things and to feel like there's like no hope because it's so sad or there's nothing I can do to change it or I wish it had turned out differently. But I mean, there's always going to be another day and there's always going to be more chances to like be happy, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, it's pretty deep. So, yeah, what overall meaning do you like to take away from this? Do you take away what you think other people should take away, or do you think it's kind of different and more personal?
For me, it's definitely, it does have a similar message of continuing to be my best self, but I think especially my use of red paint is supposed to symbolize my anger, because that's an emotion that's so strong and it kind of overrides others. And for me, I take away that it's okay to be angry as long as you don't let that be all you are.
Yeah, that's a really great thing to remember, because you know, anger is seen as a very like bad emotion, like don't be angry, or when you're angry you become this horrible person. But I mean, sometimes it's good to have anger, but just not let it consume you.
Yeah.
Like to just address that this is really taking me off, but I'm gonna, you know, not let it take over who I am.
Yeah, exactly. That's, yeah.
There's some deep stuff, deep psychology meaning for the day.
Yeah.
So how did you first get into writing?
I've been writing fiction and short stories for pretty much as long as I can remember, but when I really got into writing poetry and expressing feelings was probably, I think, the end of seventh grade, beginning of eighth, because I was going through, you know, a lot, and I wanted to show that it's okay to feel emotions and be less than okay, but you're not alone in feeling that way. I wanted to provide both myself and people that read my poetry, the people that feel that way, validation that this is okay. You are allowed to feel however you want. That's always okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I started writing around that same like seventh grade time, and I think it was really, I mean, I think that I would have been writing poetry regardless, but I think that I especially really threw myself into it at that time because I needed like an outlet for all the things that I was thinking about. And you know, with short stories, because I write short stories sometimes, you can be creative, but sometimes you need something that's a little more personal, you know, like poetry.
Yeah.
So you write short stories and fiction, right?
Mm-hmm.
And do you think that your poetry style blends into your other writing?
Yeah, I definitely do. A lot of the time when I have a longer project in fiction or realistic fiction, I'll use poetry in that from the character's perspective.
Ooh.
I feel that's such a powerful way of showing their inner turmoil.
Oh, yes. Like, there's a book that did that that I love. It's called The Sky is Everywhere by Jandy Nelson. Such a good book. And she has a bunch of poems from the narrator's perspective. And it's really, really powerful. I think it's a really cool thing, actually, because not that many people do it. And it really connects, you know, this fictional story with poetry, which is so personal, and it makes it seem more real, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you think that your style even blends into when you're writing like diary entries or like letters or like writing that isn't necessarily creative writing?
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. I'll use poetic lines or metaphors even outside of a full poem just to convey a hard emotion that doesn't, I can't do it justice by just saying this character is feeling this way. So I definitely think, yeah.
Yeah, I think that I definitely do that too with my like journaling. And I mean, sometimes I feel like I don't have to make it all fancy writing, like this is just for me, no one else is going to see it. But sometimes I think it's actually kind of nice to have a journal entry that has a lot of metaphors and it's just really beautiful.
Yeah.
So what motivates you to continue writing?
I think for the most part, I keep feeling, so I feel like I still need that outlet when I have another emotion. But for the most part, it's the people that read my poetry and connect to it and feel like this is true to them and that they are not alone anymore in feeling that way. And I just want to bring that little bubble of, I don't know, companionship to those people, even though I don't know them personally.
I think that's really great. And I think it's something that YWPLAY really helps you with, is that you can, you know, connect with other people who are feeling the same way that you are with a poem that you write or they write or someone else writes. And you've never met these people, but you can still connect through your writing.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And so how do you think that YWP has helped or influenced you as a writer?
Young Writers Project has really inspired me to be truthful in what I write and really just let this raw emotion kind of bleed into my poetry, because that's how I connect. It's definitely let me feel, I don't know, like a sense of community with the other writers. And I'm very happy that Young Writers Project has allowed me to bring my poetry to people outside of the site as well.
Me too. I'm very grateful for that. And I think that the community as a whole is just really great when you're, you know, a teenager or a tween, because that's the time when you need a lot of encouragement, I think. And what better place to get that than YWP?
Yeah, exactly.
And another thing that I think is really great about having other people who write that you stay in touch with, not necessarily through YWP, but just in general, knowing other writers who are your age or not, is that you can sort of bounce ideas off of each other. And sometimes it's nice to have someone to look over your poem and be like, this is great, I love that you wrote this, or this is good, but I could use a little work, or this doesn't really fit here.
Yeah, I definitely love the feedback that I get.
Yeah, me too. And I like workshops especially, because you can get a lot of different opinions. And I mean, sometimes you get feedback and it's like, that's so great, I really like it. And that's like, okay, thank you, but that doesn't help me that much.
Yeah, definitely get that.
Yeah, do you like workshops and do you go to them often?
I haven't done very many. I did do the Gateless Writing Party. That was a blast. but overall, I've not gone too deep, but I'm definitely looking forward to doing that more in the near future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like writing workshops. I think it's really great. Do you do open mics ever?
I've done a few, but nothing too public. I've always felt a little less secure when people are seeing my face while I'm speaking.
Yeah. I get a little nervous about that too. And I mean, I've been doing open mics for a while, since I really started out writing a few years ago. But I still get nervous sometimes, and I think I talk a little too fast when I'm reading. But I think it's really nice to have that space where you can share your poetry and get snaps and just feel like, you know, there's a reward for writing and it's not just like something that you keep hidden.
Yeah, that's awesome. That definitely sounds great.
Yeah, so we did an virtual open mic a few weeks ago that was really cool. And I'm hoping we can do another one soon. Yeah. So that might be a lot of fun for you to join.
Yeah, I mean, I'll definitely do that if that happens again.
Yeah. So how many unfinished or untouched poems do you think you have?
Ooh, every time I have a poem that feels a little unfinished or I'm not completely happy with, or maybe just doesn't really belong on the site and it's just kind of a private for me poem, I'll copy it down and put it on a document just in case I ever want to share it. So mm-hmm. I'd say probably like 15 or 20 right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you think there are some poems that you just haven't at all gone back to after writing? You haven't even looked at them?
Definitely. Yeah. That happens a lot.
And how do you choose which poems to continue writing? Like, is there something about them that makes you want to continue with the idea? Or is there something that makes you just, like, not want to do it at all?
A lot of times, the opening lines and the finishing lines really make or break a poem for me. Mm-hmm. So if I don't like the difference between the two, or they don't quite fit, then I'll often not go back to it, or I'll just rewrite the whole thing. But if I absolutely love those lines, then I'll definitely come back to it, rework it until I'm happy with it and want to share it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that it's very rare for me to just not go back to a poem at all. And I like to go back to them. And even if I just take a line from it, I think it's good to see what you've written, and it's good to go over and sort of realize what you don't like about it. Mm. You know, and like, oh, I don't like this because I use this metaphor, or because I use this cliche, or something like that.
Yeah.
But I think I definitely have a lot of poems that I haven't shared or I haven't really finished. Because I think that, I mean, if I'm not 100% loving the poem, then I just won't put that much time or effort into it. And if I don't put a lot of time and effort into it, then it just doesn't come out that good.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
But I really like when I write a poem and then I go back to it and I'm like, yes, 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 that's what I'm feeling.
That's the best feeling ever.
Right? You know how people say that if I could bottle up this feeling, I'd buy it or something like that? Yeah. I would bottle up that feeling after you've written a good poem and you're like, yes, that's a good poem. So, how long do you typically spend writing or editing a poem?
The writing first draft is probably 5 to 10 minutes. I'll just do a quick outline. A lot of the time I'll use like parentheses for lines that I may or may not use, transitions, that sort of thing. But then I go back, and normally from that first stage to the end when I'm hitting submit, it's an hour to an hour and a half. It takes me a while. Wow.
Mm-hmm. And do you do this digitally or like on paper?
A lot of the times, some of my favorite poems, like You, Me, and the Butterflies, Changed from my early times, will start in a notebook, and then I'll rewrite it online so that I can easily edit. But mm-hmm. some of my other works, I've definitely just done all on the site.
Yeah, I think that if I get an idea while I'm on my computer doing homework, then I'll just type it into a Word document and then go back to it later. But mm-hmm. for the most part, I like to write it down on paper and edit it on paper too, because then I can like physically see it and cross out things I don't like or add things I do want. And then I'll like put the final draft online. But I think it's good to have paper for me, because then I can have like a physical version of it in my hands. And I think that helps me.
Yeah, it definitely feels more real when I can touch it.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, another thing about writing like into a Word doc is that I had to turn off my autocorrect because it kept putting all the lines capital. And I was like, no, it has to be lowercase. It has to be abstract.
I definitely understand that.
Yeah. So now I have to make sure I'm spelling things right, because it's not catching my mistakes. Yeah. But yeah, I think that, I mean, whatever works for you, really, at the end of the day. If you like writing on paper, that's great. If you like writing digitally, that's fine too.
Yeah, it's always good to express yourself the best way you see fit.
Yeah, and I think that that's a common like misconception that people have about writing, is that there are rules and you have to do this a certain way. And you have to physically write it this way, and you have to edit it this way, and you have to make it about this. But there's no rules. The best part is that there's no like set of regulations that you have to follow.
Yeah, that's one of the best parts. I don't have to make sure I'm doing it correctly.
Right? Like when you're doing homework, you have to look back and be like, oh, was this grammar correct? Did I cite my sources? Did I you know, plagiarize this paragraph. But when you're writing poetry or any writing in general, really, you don't have to do that to yourself. You know, there's no correct or incorrect way.
Writing's good that way, I think.
Do you ever experiment with other artistic things like painting or what else besides painting? Just art in general, I guess.
Yes, I'm into like acting and that sort of thing. But I also like to draw, not necessarily paint. I can't paint, but like, you know, plain old pencil, markers, that sort of stuff. That's always a good outlet.
Yeah, I like watercolor and just art in general. I think it's nice to have a combination of artistic outlets so that I can switch between writing and painting and stuff like that. Have you ever written, like, have you ever done playwriting before?
I haven't done anything that I'm perfectly happy with and that I've, like, brought to people's attention. But I have written scripts for various, like, podcasts and short little bits for comedy, that sort of thing. I'm definitely
podcasts? Into... Well, now you're speaking my language. Yeah. Is this the first podcast you've been on?
I did one for a class, but it was not that great. Oh. So there's only one episode, and it was discontinued.
Have you listened to the other podcasts on here?
I have, yes.
Oh, what do you think of them?
I'm definitely a fan.
Yay! Awesome. I love hearing what people think about it because it's very fun for me. I mean, I do everything by myself, so there's such a good feeling when people are like, this really touched me, or I love this, or I laughed out loud.
Yeah, I think it's really awesome that you're doing this.
Oh, thank you so much. So, what do you think you write about the most?
I think a lot of my poems are definitely sadder and more introspective, but I use a lot of metaphors, so it's hard for me to remember what past me was actually writing about. Mm-hmm. So I think from what I can decipher, I write a lot about feelings that overarch into separate experiences, but that I can tie together.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the time it's about self-change or feeling like I need to change.
Yeah.
You never need to change. Don't let people change you.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's something that I kind of write about too, is like feeling like I have to be a specific type of teenager. And now that I'm 16, I feel like that's so monumental. Like, I'm 16. Wow. I've got to be doing all these things. And I mean, I really don't want to be doing even, like, half of them. There are only a few things about being a teenager that I really want to do. And it's just weird to me because there's the push and pull between, like, what I feel like I should do and what I actually want to do.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think I'm pretty stubborn about being who I am and I'm not really going to change who I am, but I still sometimes feel like, wow, I'm not being teenager enough, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
And it's really weird because when you really think about it, all the things that, like, are shown in movies about this is what being a teenager is. Like, you know, in High School Musical and, like, teen rom-coms where they're, like, partying when they're freshmen and all these other things. It's like, no one really does that anymore, though.
Yeah, I mean, I can speak from experience. There's not a single party. Oh, man.
And, like, high schoolers don't wear high heels, and they don't do all these, like, crazy things that are seen in movies and TV and stuff. And everyone just really wears, like, sweatshirts now.
Yeah, it's really just sweatshirts, homework, and stress, you know?
Yeah. So I think the standard has lowered.
A little bit.
But, yeah, that's a thing that I definitely write about a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think that I think I go through phases for sure. Like, I was writing a lot about feelings and emotions, and then I was writing a lot about personal experiences, and then I was writing a lot about being a teenager. And now I think I'm sort of cycling through them.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of trying to connect everything. And It's very interesting to see the phases that I'm going through as a writer. Do you think that you've gone through phases as well?
I definitely think so. I definitely started out with outside perspectives, you know, choosing to write about different people and staying away from myself. Then I shifted into who I see myself as and what other people see me as. Then I went really metaphorical and suddenly every word's a metaphor. And I definitely cycle through those a lot.
Yeah. Do you think you have styles that you cycle through as well?
Definitely. I think I do a lot of like kind of grouping together in little like 4 or 5 line paragraphs almost, and doing a bunch of those to prove a point or convey an emotion. Or I'll do, you know, stylized writing with lots of indents and spaces and all that. Or I'll just do, you know, plain all down, nice punctuation, normal looking like an essay or something, you know.
Yeah, I think that I definitely go through phases as well. Right now, I've been in a lowercase phase for a few months. I think it's starting to wear off, though. But sometimes I'm just in a lowercase mood.
I get that, yeah.
Yeah, but I think that in the beginning, when I was starting out, I thought everything had to, like, rhyme. And it had to be this rhyme. And I'd make it very simple rhymes, like you and to and do and things like that. And now I'm, like, nothing that I write rhymes anymore. So it's changed a lot in that way. But I think I generally stick to the same sort of, like, groupings of stanzas or lowercase, stuff like that. I don't get too crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's always cool to see sort of the like path I've taken from where I started when I was like 12 and where I am now that I'm 16. And then it'll be cool to see when I'm like in my 20s and 30s and when I'm like 90, how writing has changed throughout my life, because I'm sure it's just gonna continue changing.
Yeah, it's always awesome to see both in yourself and other writers like this amazing change that they've gone through and how much they've, you know, continued to write and be present, and just it's awesome to see.
Yeah, exactly. Are there any poets or authors who really inspire you?
Ooh, I'm bad at putting names to poems. I read a lot of Shakespeare, so a lot of his drama and like metaphors and phrases I've kind of carried on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't put names.
What's your favorite Shakespeare play or poem?
I think my favorite play is A Midsummer's Night Dream.
Oh, I don't know a lot of Shakespeare, which I feel bad about because I feel like I should, but Romeo and Juliet is just such a classic story.
Oh yeah, that's a close second. I mean,
yeah. And I think that what's beautiful about Shakespeare, and we were talking about this in one of the podcasts, I can't remember which one now, but it's how, like, you know, the stuff that he wrote was like 400, 500 years ago, but we can still relate to it. You know, it's just feelings that he captured in such a way that, like, it was related to in the 1500s, 1600s, and it's related to now in the 21st century.
Yeah, his, like, I don't know, just the durability of his poetry and his works, they really drive me to make something I'm proud of that people may still read, like, centuries ahead and still relate to. It's just it's wonderful.
Yeah, I think it's really amazing, you know, that one person can create something that's so big to, you know, everyone, no matter where you live. It's not just, like, this one group of people knows about Shakespeare. Like, everyone knows about Shakespeare. I think that's a really amazing thing.
Yeah, it's definitely awesome and so timeless to see.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that someday I would love to be Juliet in Romeo and Juliet. If there was a play going on and I got cast as Juliet, I would, like, be so happy. all you would hear from me would be, "Wherefore art thou, Romeo?" That's all I know, basically.
I mean, yeah, that's about as far as my memorization goes. So.
What book or poem do you think has really touched you, and why?
Ooh, I can't think of poetry, but I can definitely list book titles.
Okay.
I read a lot of realistic fiction, so, I mean, there's endless titles, but I think one of my favorites was Everything, Everything.
Oh, yes, me too.
Oh, man, it's just, oh, man.
Yeah, it's really great. Did you read The Sun Is Also a Star by the same author?
I haven't.
Ooh, it's very good. And both of them were made into movies, actually. I haven't seen them, though, because I'm very strongly against seeing movies that were once books that I really liked. Because feel like it would just change the book.
Oh, no.
But I think that there are very specific books that touch me, like The Fault in Our Stars. Yeah. Every single time I read that, I'm like, oh, my God.
And oh, man, you make me cry.
I know, right? Oh, uh-huh. Such good characters. And what else? I'm looking at my bookshelf. Let's see. The Book Thief. Oh, my gosh.
Ooh.
That was a really good book. I was crying at the end of that one.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's really good. And the author wrote another one called Bridge of Clay. And it's a really big book. I mean, it wasn't my favorite. I think it was a little confusing at times.
Yeah.
But do you know The Perks of Being a Wallflower?
Oh, I haven't read the book, but I've seen the movie.
Okay. I read the book. It was pretty good. And the author just came out with a new book. And it is so funky. It is so weird. Ooh. Like, I don't even know how you would classify it. Is it horror? Is it, like, thriller? Is it fantasy? I don't even know. And it's kind of, like, unbelievable. Because it's like, wait, is this really the same author who wrote The Perks of Being a Wallflower? Like, what? It's such a complete 180.
I will definitely have to read that.
Yes. And it's a good book for quarantine because it's like 600 pages.
Perfect.
And I have to admit, another book that really touched me was Twilight.
Oh, I feel that.
I read the second book. I have not read the first, the third, or the fourth. I haven't seen the movies, but my aunt sent me the second book. And wow, I've said for the longest time, like, I'm not a Twilight fan. There's nothing wrong with Twilight fans, but I just don't really like it, you know? It's a little cliche, the whole vampire werewolf thing. But then I read it, and I read it in like 2 days. And I was like, whoa, where has this been all my life? This is amazing. There were so many cliffhangers and so many times where I was like, no, don't do it, Bella. Don't go into the woods. Don't go to Italy. Don't do that. And I can't wait to find out what else happens.
Yeah, I mean, I was so set on not reading them because mm-hmm. I was convinced I wouldn't like them. And I read them. And now I have read the entire series several times.
Oh my gosh. I know. I have to get the other books. But the one thing I can't believe is that Bella does the exact things that everyone tells her not to do.
I know.
And, I mean, it's so infuriating, but that's what makes for a good book, you know? When you, like, can't stand to, like, watch it. Like, you know those horror movies where the girl, like, goes right up to the killer and she, like, opens the door and is like, no, don't do it!
Oh my god, yes!
That's
oh.
what I felt the entire time reading Twilight. I was like, no! Get away from the vampires! Get away from the werewolves! Stop it!
She okay. really needs to make good decisions.
Right? But I have a very important question. This is like a life or death question.
Alright.
Are you Team Jacob or Team Edward?
Team Edward all the way.
No! No way!
I can't help it. Oh man.
Wow! I was not expecting that.
I've always seen Jacob as, like, the little brother. I can't help it.
Oh my gosh. But Edward's, like, a vampire. And he's, like, cold. And she's always saying his body's, like, marble. And it's so weird. It's like he's dead.
I mean.
Well, yeah. I'm Team Jacob. I mean, so far. it could change.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally fine, but
and he's nice too. Edward's always so like mean and weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely wasn't expecting to like it as much as I do. I'm a fan. One last question. If you could tell your younger writing self anything, what would it be?
Oh, okay. To my younger writing self, please skip the phase where you thought you had to be edgy all the time. Because it's not good. Just skip it.
Okay, that's really great. I think that to my younger writing self, I would say pretty much everyone knows who you're writing about. It's not that disguised. But thank you for staying with it and not giving up.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I've had a lot of fun talking today.
Yeah, me too.
This has been episode 9 of Line Break. I hope you enjoyed and stay tuned for episode 10. Bye.